You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It is precisely 25 minutes to 9 o'clock, and it was precisely this time last week where we'd all arrived at work. We'd all spent the weekend trying to make sense of the horror and tragedy of what happened down in Christchurch as the death of 50 Muslims, shot in the back pretty much by a man with a seemingly white supremacist agenda. 42 people injured, and the nation reeling and unsure of what to think, confronted with the fact that it was happened on our shores, this thing had been going on around the world, this hatred, this anger, there's a lot of disbelief, there's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of people very unsure about how to react in such a situation. We were impressed with the first responders, but we were disappointed in our country. We were disappointed in ourselves. We didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. And the first person we turned to here on the BFM Breakfast Show a week ago today, after all that, was Peter Lynham of Massey University. Peter, good morning to you.
Good morning to you again, Mike.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the show again. I know you'll probably be talking to Drive again this evening, but the week that has been since we last spoke, when you and I spoke last week, we talked a lot about where to, and there's a lot of soul searching going on. There's a lot of empathy going on. I guess I wanted to talk to you this morning about the extraordinary things that have happened since then.
And there's been a few of them
in this nation of ours.
It's been a most interesting week to watch. You know, not unlike that response when Diana died, when Princess Diana died, a most extraordinary welling up of communal grieving.
I guess the difference being that this was a pointed attack on a particular religious group. And, I mean, I watched the call to prayer. You know, I wasn't anywhere public for it, but I watched it as it was going live, the call to prayer from Hagley Park, and was just so moved by the sort of the cross-pollination of cross-pollinating of all the different religions, and just New Zealanders from all different representing all different parts of the country, all just showing some genuine beautiful empathy to a group who have been marginalised and who are definitely a minority in this country and who have been through such horror. And it was, to me, the sympathy has been so genuine and so beautiful. And then, I guess, for me, the most poignant remark was, hate will be undone, love will redeem us, which is the speech of the imam who was there and who witnessed, who was actually amongst the bullets, which I thought was, an outstanding turn of events.
It was staggering. I mean, to just have the courage to say those words was extraordinary, and I think powerful for everybody who watched it. I think the most interesting aspect to me was that the spirituality, joining in prayer, you know, is not something you get many New Zealanders doing at most of the time. And in fact, prayer in public space is pretty controversial generally in New Zealand. But suddenly people wanted to have that kind of religious significance. I got called in on Saturday to go to an event in Auckland City, and Neighbours Day was being celebrated by a committee that tries to get people together from the high-rises to discover that they are neighbours with each other.
Right.
And they suddenly thought that it was desirable to have a prayer. And so I got called on to do the prayer, and I thought that was pretty interesting, that a sudden realisation that the religious dimension actually can mark out people's identity.
Also, it's, you know, to whether people, you know, were swayed by to join Islam or the Muslim faith or whatever, it was just a beautiful sign of empathy, I thought. And you know, we're so often, as much as we say it's a rare thing, it's if people do a mihi or a prayer and a lot of other parts of just regular comings and goings in New Zealand society, it's often Christian or Christian based, and everyone else is supposed to tolerate that, you know, and they do, because it's a sign of respect to who's ever asked to for the prayer to happen, you know. And so I don't think it's such a big stretch for people to show their sympathy and their solidarity with what's I thought the scenes from Hackley Park were just phenomenal. They really gave me great faith in faith, but also great faith in the potential that human beings might get through this, which a lot of the times sometimes you can question.
Yeah, it was remarkable. And I mean, looking at it, I thought the fact that people had come from very, very different backgrounds and wanted to show this kind of identity was interesting. So, like here in Ponsonby, the rationalists asked if they could come along and participate in the events in the Ponsonby Mosque and were said to be welcome. And, you know, so that shows quite an interesting change of tone from the idea that, you know, everybody is just deriding of different religions, that in fact people who themselves don't believe want to show some kind of mark of respect for that kind of religious tradition. You know, Mikey, it doesn't come easily. There's a very long tradition in New Zealand society of disliking public prayer, for a start.
Yeah.
And secondly, there's a very long history of Christian-Islam mutual suspicion, which, you know, is picked up in lots of kinds of ways, of the way in which we kind of have often imagined that in the mosque mysterious things are happening, and that that there's a kind of undiluted level of vitriol as part of the prayer. And I did watch with interest and listened with interest to some discussions of some Christians who were finding it pretty difficult because they were having to readjust their worldview. And I think that's been one of the most positive things.
Well, this is the thing. You're going to have to readjust something. Because if it stays the same, it stays the same, and then nothing's, and you've learnt nothing.
Yes.
You know.
But the moment you say, I can accept that you are praying in your way to your God, and I actually want to honour you in doing that, and I want to stand with you in doing that, it's very interesting. Now, you probably heard Brian Tumaki's sort of remark.
I heard his remark, yeah.
Yes. And you know, that kind of remark, in the old days, that would have been pretty standard fare from Christians. And the fact that he was very quickly isolated in his views tells me that there's been quite a mark of change of people, of saying that if we're going to get together as a society, actually, we don't undermine our religion by standing with you as you practice yours. And that is quite interesting because traditionally, people had all sorts of ideas. The name of Allah was, well, if you go back to the old crusading discourse, they believed Allah was, in fact, the devil.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of this completely misinformed language, which, in fact, Allah is simply the standard name for, actually, it's originally the Jewish name for God, Elohim, just translated into Arabic. And so there's a lot of learning that people have to do, and a lot of kind of awkwardness that it's hard to get over, and only an event like this has helped us to get over it.
This is why I thought the speech from the Imam was so beautiful, actually, because there was, I think he really was careful to avoid, you know, there was nothing suspicious about it. There was nothing trying to sell
the
religion, you know, which is so often in that situation. He would have been excused trying to sell the religion to people, almost, or trying to strengthen the resolve of those Muslims.
And there. I must say, in some of the things I've listened to, I have heard a bit of selling of Islam, and I've perfectly understood why that's taken place.
Yeah.
But on that public occasion, you're absolutely right. He spoke simply as a New Zealander to fellow New Zealanders and to the grieving people. And that was, I think, exactly the right tone to adopt. And It was very interesting watching, and I've talked to quite a number of women. Have you talked to women who put the veil on Friday?
There was a lot more than, and I don't think I was being, there were a lot more than I expected.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and I think for all, and they seem to have done it for all, from my conversations that I have had and from what I've seen and from those people I know that have done it, for all the right reasons, and it was seen by those, you know, it wasn't seen as tokenism. There was a couple of people who took it like that, but I think it was for all the right reasons, and I think that's for reasons that moving forward in the future is. For reasons of understanding, you know, and I think that's what was so inspiring about what's happened as a result of this terrible, terrible tragedy, is we do have some inspiration about where we may go, where this country may go, and what we, you know, it's going to be on the front cover of Time magazine, all this. The next Time magazine's got
Is that right?
That beautiful picture, her name's Ruby somebody, do you know the artist I'm talking about, who did the picture? The really simple picture of just the two women hugging. She's been commissioned to do the cover of Time magazine.
Wow.
And and a special report saying what I think it was something like terrorism could not destroy us. I mean,
it's interesting because in one way, it was our naivety as a small country forgetting that we're part of a global world that led the tragedy to happen. You know. Very little care for people wandering between country and country and slack gun laws. But on the other side, uniquely in the country, there's a kind of process that can happen because we are all close enough to be able to go to the local mosque and not feel as though that's sort of going totally off territory. So we're not divided up into sharp divisions and sharp blocks. I mean, I've sometimes worried whether that could happen in New Zealand, whether, for example, Hillsborough could become such a very tightly Indian, even divided into Hindu and Muslim areas.
Right.
But I think that would be where the risk would happen if we effectively had those kind of ghettos. But instead, that reaching across, I think, is pretty important for the
future. Well, this is what's happened, isn't it? I mean, everybody's looking at everyone's into everyone else's eyes in a different way, I think. Reading more into it than maybe it'll all be over in a couple of weeks. But I really hope not. I really hope we, as a nation, learn.
The next steps are good steps. Because initially, obviously, there's a wave of sentiment and grieving and collective sorrow. But the next stage is to, I mean, you think, for example, 50 families where largely it was males who died and breadwinners, and actually constructing, for example, changing the immigration laws to enable support members of families to come in. There's lots of things that are going to need to be done to make those communities stand on their feet again. And so I think that's the next stage of the challenge.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Where do you see you've given us a wee insight into what you think's coming up next, but what do you think we should hope for, and what do you think might happen in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, well, I think firstly, I think there's going to need to be a lot more discussions between religious groups. I think it's actually given a tremendous basis for those sorts of discussions. Continued move forward on that would be significant. And within the academic world, there's been a whole series of discussions of things that could be set up that might be beneficial. But as you well know, academics don't change the world. It is actually practically on the ground where mosques and churches and where other community groups start to connect. Secondly, I think stopping pigeonholing Muslims into a peculiar, dangerous area, I think community pressure is going to have to change that outlook. And thirdly, I do think that the next step is going to have to turn towards the racism underlying it all.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the really big challenge.
And the racism isn't. I think my personal view on this is we're too with racism. You know, we can all be. You know, we can all be historical, but and we know how we. I think we all know how we got here, but it's how we deal with it from tomorrow. You know,
precisely. Yeah. And that's going to be hard work, But I think actually it's a good moment to start that.
Hey, Peter, thank you very much. I just want to say what a great job you did too on Breakfast TV talking about the Crusaders getting rid of their imagery.
My goodness, you
slapped them down hard. It was good.
Okay, very good.
Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you so much. I know you've had a very busy week. I really appreciate you joining us again after we first spoke to you last week after the tragedies in Christchurch. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Bye.
I think for me, the whole thing was encapsulated in that one line. I came out of Hagley Park after the call to prayer. Hate will be undone. Love will redeem us. BFM, it's 10 to 9. Come on, New Zealand, we can do that. It's not that hard.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.